Continually walking half a path and changing your mind drains energy and passion for life. Welcome to Landscaping Your Life with Alison Smith, where I use nature's landscapes as metaphors for your life, helping you to get back on track when you're stuck and don't know what to do. Whether that's when you're lost, lacking in focus, motivation or confidence, or feeling stressed or overwhelmed. Send the situation you're grappling with on a coffee break as you explore one of nature's landscapes to gain insight and a different perspective you can apply to the situation later. Today's episode is going to explore a theme that comes out quite often and frequently in Landscaping Your Life walks, and that's about committing to a whole path. And as I wrote in Can't See the Wood for the Trees, a book I first published in 2018, I said, continually walking half a path and changing your mind drains energy and passion for life. And the insight that people get is that they set out and they get sort of halfway towards a destination, and then they, oh, this isn't right, and they turn around or they get distracted. And it's that distraction, that lack of commitment, the, I'm not right, that drains the energy, because we don't get anywhere. It's as if we're going round in circles. And I've also written in the past about it doesn't matter how long or short, it's the commitment to the path. And what I thought today was I'd explore that insight in nature. So rather than going out in nature and getting that insight, I'd see whether I can help bring that alive, explore the other patterns that may come along with that. Because if you, I suppose, recognise that, I know where I want to get to, but I'm not getting there, and yeah, perhaps I am procrastinating, or yeah, perhaps I am doubting myself, then let's see whether we can put that pattern to bed. And now, what you could do is go out for a walk in nature and just listen to me, and then go out in nature and just notice what you notice. Specifically, and that's what I'm going to do, specifically in relation to paths. So I think I shared recently about somebody who'd said they were at a crossroads, and we were out in Edinburgh Botanical Gardens, and so every crossroads we got, it was just as if, wow, we've gone to the one place that's got lots of crossroads. They were able to test out their relationship with the pattern, and they got insight about their desire to go off on paths that weren't well signposted. So today what I'm going to do is walk paths with a commitment to take the whole path and notice what happens if I dither and etc. Now, the interesting thing is that the path I've chosen is a circular route around a reservoir, and therefore I'm not sure how many paths I'm going to come across, or ends of paths. So it could be the fact that the commitment is to the whole circle. But I suspect, as I know, nature is very, very good at helping put the mirror up, even though I might have thought, oh, Alison, you've picked the wrong venue for this conversation. I suspect I'll be as excited and intrigued as you to discover what happens. So let's see. I suppose I'm starting with an insight that I've had before, and that's going back to that it doesn't matter if it how short or long the path is, it's the commitment to it. So if I'm not sure about where I'm going, is it better that I just go, right, I'm just going to go to the top of this hill? I'm not going to worry about between where I was and the top of the hill about whether I'm going right or not, or I'm not going to allow myself to get distracted. I'm just going to commit to getting to the top of the hill. So it might be that I then stay on the same path. It's not as if it's about a crossroads. I remember in the Paths and Destinations poem, there's some paths are a path that you take to get to the next crossroads, and then you make a decision. And what I'm suggesting here is it's not even about getting to the crossroads. I'd really highly recommend you listening to that podcast, because my resistance to walk to that first crossroad was huge. I don't underestimate how my pattern of wanting the destination to be really in sight. In that particular instance, the crossroads was, I didn't know when the next crossroads was, and so I got bored. It's like, oh, well, I'm still on this path. What? And I can't see the end. And actually, I thought, oh, you know what? I'll turn round and I'll go back to the beginning. That's going to be easier. But I made a commitment to go to the next crossroads, and of course, it was only just around the corner. So that's another example of how, when we're out in nature, we bring our own ways of being and behaviours with us. So that's obviously one of my patterns. You might be hearing me and going, that's not my pattern, Alison. And that's great. That this is about, if you have a pattern of doing lots of half paths and then turning around and going back to where you started for fear of making the wrong decision, then what I say may resonate. If you're really good at committing to things and getting things done, then I suspect this podcast isn't the one for you, or this episode isn't the one for you, and that I strongly recommend you go and find one that perhaps resonates with how you are stuck, because that might not be a pattern. But anyway, I have, since in my rabbiting on, I've now got to the top of the hill, and interesting thing is that, of course, the path is straight, so there is no, I can't go off it at the moment. So although I've committed to only get to the top, I didn't know whether there was going to be a crossroads. I didn't know what was happening. But when I get here, there's this beautiful, I mean, oh, gorgeous tree. Gorgeous sycamore, I think it is. Beautiful tree. And this is June, so it's, you know, lovely and green, very vibrant, lots of leaves. And I suspect, had I committed to, you know, head down, I'm going to walk all the way around this reservoir and not even put a head up, because the end goal is to get back to the car park, having done the two-mile circular, I wouldn't have noticed this lovely tree. So, smaller. The insight I'm getting, for me personally, is I know, and I'll use the example of when I wrote my book, that I remember, you know, talking for years. My hairdresser said I'd been writing the book for 15 years, because she'd heard about that for that long. But I'd always said, oh, I'm going to write a book. And it wasn't until I broke it down into its, you know, component, or I'm going to write an index, you know, write the index, then I'm going to write the introduction, then I'm going to write chapter one. That it was when I broke it down, and I suppose that's what's just happened there, that I'm going to get to the top of the hill, and then I'm going to notice something. I suppose it's slightly different, but it is nevertheless about noticing what inspires us, noticing what excites us, noticing what gets us from where I am to where I want to be. Because I can be, and I've now sort of come round another corner and I've got another hill. I can know where I want to get to, but not at certain parts. So I suppose, this is why I'm laughing, I said, oh, this is a circular route, I'm going to get nothing. But this first part of the walk is actually uphill. And because of my arthritic knees up till having the knee replacement last year, I don't think my aerobic capacity has quite got back to being able to go up these hills sort of with vigour and enthusiasm. So the shorter path is, right, Alison, you're just going to get halfway up this hill, you're going to get to the top of the hill, breaking it down into smaller chunks. And I did actually come here a month or so ago, and I know actually there is a seat so I can motivate myself with the, if you want to write your poem about half paths, Alison, then why don't you do it when you get to that seat? So I suppose so far this is just reminding me, break down your route into smaller chunks that motivate you. So it could be that some of you need really, really small chunks. This is what I'm going to do in the next 5 minutes. And somebody else might be quite happy to have an objective about what am I going to do in the next hour or the next day. So I suppose path taking and destination arriving is very much about commitment and enthusiasm. So if I've got the enthusiasm, I'm perhaps more likely to commit. Now, sorry, all you can hear is me breathing deeply as I've got to the top of a hill, and now there's a sort of a bit of a gradient down, and there's another path that's half a path. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? It's not half a path, it's a path, but it's not very well trodden. So what is it when paths are not well trodden? If we're going where no man has gone before, how does our relationship between the path and the destination change? Because I was going to call it a half a path because it's not very visible. And I don't think I really meant that when I said about, you know, committing to the whole path. But what I've done is stopped and sort of taken a few steps down this path that is, there's a path there, not many people to do it. So it's got blackberries growing across it, but there's enough of a path to know that people have gone before, just not a great path. But I still think there's a commitment to it. Because otherwise if I go along here and I'm not committed to it, I'm dawdling, I'm, you know, not sure, you know, why am I here? What's this all about? I start to take notice of the risks in terms of, it's quite a steep drop. So that lack of commitment, I suppose, and that fear means that I go slower, I'm more tentative, I perhaps make the risks and problems bigger, whereas now I'm back on the main path. There's a cat in front of me. Obviously spied something in the grass, so it's doing like what cats do, which is very intent, but sort of stock still, but it sort of is also aware that I'm going to chase its prey away. I've scared the cat off, but I notice that now I'm back on the main path. I've got my head up, not down, which is what I had on the other path. I'm in the middle of the path. I'm certainly striding more confidently. So how, even if you want to go off a path less travelled, how can you use that confidence? How can you use that commitment, the head up? I just really something powerful about having your head up as I'm walking through under the trees. I can see sun glinting on the reservoir. I was thinking about, well, what happens if somebody has very different motivation to me? I'm not motivated by, yeah, let's do a marathon, let's achieve something, you know, monumental. I'm not going to do a normal marathon, never mind an extreme one. But if you were motivated by that, then the chances are the path that you need to set yourself is much bigger than the paths I have to set myself. But I'm much better at going, right, go to that corner, then go to the next corner, and then go to the next corner. And that suits me fine and actually gets me round the reservoir, whereas somebody else would have to go, I want to get round the reservoir in X time, and that would keep them going. So I think when you're thinking about your goal that you're not achieving, that you're turning away from and getting distracted by other things on, then it's about considering, you know, what motivates you and how do you normally keep yourself going, and to then apply that in the same way as I did for my book, that having a big goal of I'm going to have a, you know, best-selling book wasn't enough of a draw for me to even put pen to paper, whereas going, you know what, I'm going to write my index, was. But it might be that you need to think about that. Earlier I said, oh yeah, there's that bench that I'll sit at to write my poem, and I walked past that one because in my head there was another bench not far away, and I mean I haven't walked far at all anyway, but it's the length of time you've been listening to me with a few minutes added on, but I still haven't found the other bench. So I think that talks of sometimes we might need a map so that it's much easier for us to see where we are on this path. Now, some people, like the person I mentioned right at the beginning, absolutely want to go where other people haven't gone. But having a map, knowing where you are in relation to the map, being able to set your goals in relation to that map, it's like, oh, I'm going to walk from here to there, might help sometimes. Because I certainly think pre-Nuni, I'd have been, oh, she says as she nearly falls, trips over a branch. I'd have been more jumpy about the fact that we hadn't yet come to that bench, and would have been mightily thinking of turning around because there wasn't the bench. So I think there's a being understanding what our assumptions are, expectations are, needs are. If you need somebody to be patting on your back, how can you make sure that you've got that all set up ahead of time? If you need a bench, how can you make sure that you absolutely pot those benches before you set out, so that you're not, I suppose, pushed off track and heading back to where you started, because at least you know, oh well, there's a bench there or whatever. How does that relate to your real life situation? And that's what these podcasts are all about me rabbiting on, as I've said, about the patterns I'm observing in nature, and me and you then relating those patterns to your real life. And if you're out in nature, perhaps noticing, stopping, looking left and right, looking at the path that you've come along, looking at the path that you're going down, and I suppose embodying, enabling that walk to embody the situation that you're tackling with, or you know, you've got on your mind at the moment and that you're wanting different insight on, and you've come here and went, ah, perhaps Alison will have something to shed light on this. When I came down here, because I'm in Nipusley Reservoir, and I normally live in Scotland, and when I came, drove down the 5 or 6 hours it takes, I was listening to the audio book Move by Caroline Williams, I think it is, and She talks about why this movement, moving forward, is so helpful to us when we've got a problem. That by taking a problem on a walk, you're leaving the past behind. You're putting some distance between you and the past as you move forward. And there's a whole load of positive things going on, both for your body and your mind, just by this simple act of putting one foot in front of another. And there's certain research about what that does for our heart, our mind, our body, and how that helps us solve problems. So as much as I'm suggesting that we want to use nature as a metaphor, I have to accept that some of the benefit of doing a landscaping your life walk is the purely act of, the creative act of walking in nature. And I've now found this bench. I'm going to sit down and see what poem emerges about paths. Well, this is new for me, because this is me going for the walk, writing a poem during the walk and sharing the poem as we do that. So, half a path gets you nowhere. Only a depletion in your energy, enthusiasm and engagement, disconnecting you from the why you set out in the first place and diminishing the motivation for getting there. Suddenly stopped in your tracks, fear of missing out on lost opportunities brings your focus down to the ground. Lost and doubting your earlier commitment, you turn, wondering if to walk back the way you came. Look up. Remember why you chose the destination in the first place. Take one step forward and another. Notice the excitement as it returns. Allow no distractions. Set the intention and commit to achieving it. I will see if other insights come as I walk the rest of the path, because I suspect I've only walked, a fifth of the path that I'm going to do tonight. So I've got quite a long way to go, but I feel as if I've shared the insights I need. I've written the poem, and it feels as if the poem is a full stop with the insights I've got. And I'm hoping that your dithering or fear of missing out or lack of commitment to a whole path seems to have been rubbed out a little, and you've got a newfound enthusiasm for that destination that you had not before you listened to the podcast. So I'll leave you there. Do leave comments, let me know how you get on, and I'll see you next week. A PS to this podcast actually is, one of the things that I share a lot about is the fact that I've done this landscaping your walk as coaching. And if that's something that you'd be interested in doing, quite often you only need one session, and I'm really good at noticing patterns. And sessions, you can do a 15 minute session for something that's quite I'm just not sure about this, and I can ask you one question and perhaps help shift you along. I suspect majority of sessions are 1 to 2 hours long. And then there are also half to full day retreats also available, which can be particularly powerful. But the other thing that I also do is use this in, I suppose, strategy, vision, team away day settings, where either I can take individuals, quite often I might have a group of six, and I take them out for a walk while other teams are, I don't know, rock climbing or doing something else. And then the rock climbers come back and they'll do a walk with me. Or I can do it as a whole team. Earlier this year I did a session where I did the prescription for well-being in the morning, and then I did the landscaping your life process in the afternoon. So certainly get in touch if you like this unconventional way of looking at things and would like to share something with your team, or would like to get back on track yourself. If you've enjoyed today's episode of Landscaping Your Life with Alison Smith, do please remember to follow the podcast so you're notified about future episodes. Leaving a review would also be very much appreciated. So too, telling family and friends if you think it would also be helpful for them. You'll find more about the Landscaping Your Life process in my book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees, Landscaping Your Life to Get Back on Track, available from all online bookstockists and by searching Landscaping Your Life on YouTube, Facebook and LinkedIn. Wishing you every success in using nature to landscape your life.